All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome back once again to the Great Scott Podcast. I am joined by Sam Sauls, who's the very first Jewish NCAA Division I football player for the Texas Aggies. How's it going, Sam?
Thank God, Michael. Thank God. It's good. How are you?
I'm good. First off, congratulations on all the success that you're having so far. It's been kind of, I'm sure, a whirlwind for you in the last year or two.
Well, thank God, you know, it was a good whirlwind. So, whirlwind's a whirlwind, but thank God it was positive.
Now, for those that may not know, you did not play football growing up. You never even probably touched a football. Well, I guess you did with friends during high school, right?
So, yeah, I mean, I went to an Orthodox Jewish high school, and at least in the time that I was growing up, there really wasn't much going on in terms of, like, a football team or anything like that that kind of existed. But, you know, we played during gym class. We played sometimes during lunch. You know, whatever it was, it was never anything professional, never anything with pads or anything, you know, organized, but it was just something that we had fun doing.
Was it then, right then and there, that you knew that this is what you're supposed to be doing in life?
Not exactly. You know, it was a little bit of a journey. There was some point in time in my life, I would say, and that this is true. I don't remember exactly when, but there was something in me that knew I had to play college football. And even in high school, I was looking for opportunities to do it, but obviously going to the type of school that I was in, it didn't really present itself that much. And obviously, you know, there are some who might say, like, oh, well, you could have maybe played for a public school team or something of that sort, and the reality just didn't exist. When you go to school from, you know, 8 o'clock to essentially 5 o'clock every day, you don't really leave much time for any sort of variation in what you do. So, I mean, there wasn't that, but there was some sort of desire, and I had it from when I was a kid, and at some point, you know, it laid dormant when I was in high school, but when I came to college, you know, it kind of manifests itself.
Now, have you been following football ever since you were a little guy?
No. So that's part of the great irony is that, you know, I love football, you know, as a sport, especially now. I watch a lot, especially to kind of like analyze, learn about it. But, you know, as a kid, you know, I grew up an Eagles fan. I'm still an Eagles fan. Oh. Go Birds. But but, you know, that was the primary thing that, you know, we followed as a kid. You know, I remember the radio and the Eagles doing bad, and I remember winning the Super Bowl when the Eagles did good. But that was really to the extent of it. And obviously, it was something that there was an aspect of the culture that I really enjoyed, which is something that I looked for, partially what I looked for when I was looking into a college. I really did love the aspect of the culture of football, and it's a sport that I kind of grew to love, and I really began to understand what was going on and how much thought goes into it. But as for, you know, really knowing much about it when I was younger, I really didn't know anything.
So how did the Aggies get wind of you?
So it's more I got wind of them in the beginning. I ended up going to Texas A&M for school, and I didn't, obviously not playing football in high school, there was like no way to get recruited. So I, you know, looked at, well, they have tryouts, but, you know, how was I really going to try out? And I ended up just training outside of their facility every day for 8 to 9 months, whatever that duration was. And I went to the head coach at the time, the head coach's radio show, and I met him. And you know, after I guess seeing the persistence of going out to one place every day in order to train, I think, you know, they gave me a chance. As far as I know, you know, I don't know too much of the internals of how it goes on. There's always conversations that you're never going to be privy to, or you're never going to hear.
Yeah.
You know, on one side, but, you know, for whatever reason it was, I'm thankful that they found that reason. They let me on the team, and that's how I got to add A&M's team.
And I admire your work ethic, Sam, because I was reading how you would get there 1 hour before the team would even start doing their practice, and then afterwards you would stay 1 hour after the practice. So we're talking like maybe what, 4 or 5 hours worth of practice that you'd be doing every 5 days.
So yeah, it was something around that. So I would get there, and I ended up figuring out when they would exactly practice. So I would come before they practice, and I would leave after they practice. And I mean, I don't even remember, to be honest, how much time I really spent, you know, at that spot. But I guess in some respect, it could have been 3 to 4 hours, I guess. I mean, it was 1.5 hours was what I would say. Typically, I thought I put out there, but maybe it was more depending on how it could have been 2 hours some days.
Now, was there ever a time where you thought, okay, this is not going to happen? I mean, maybe I'm just crazy here or something. And I know that probably a lot of people go through that as they're chasing a dream. So was there that time that you thought, okay, I'm working all this time and it doesn't seem like anything's happening?
So, you know, thankfully I was saying God kind of like left me hints during that time that kind of kept me going, but I also learned a great deal of faith throughout that whole journey. So, I mean, obviously when you're going through something like that, and especially at the scale that I was doing it, you know, it's not like I'm 6 feet tall, 5'6". Yeah. You know, it's just not like I had any experience, but, you know, my faith was in God. My faith still isn't God. And, you know, if I were to really kind of give way to those thoughts or give up at that point, then, you know, for the journey ahead, it wouldn't really help me out at all. Because, you know, getting there is one thing. Getting on the field is another. Going anywhere else is another thing. Like, there's every time you're in any space, I would say within this field, it could be one of the highest, you know, thresholds of where this type of stuff happens is, like, you have to be able to just kind of put your head down and work and have faith that things are going to work out.
Yes,
I and that's just kind of what, especially throughout that year process, in 9.5 months of the field, was that I was like, you know, it's gonna happen. I think it's gonna happen. I was obsessed with it. Truthfully, I mean, that was I, you know, to a degree, I still have that obsession. I'm still trying to get back to where it was originally, because where it was originally, I mean, it was always on my mind.
And I also was reading about all the equipment that you would use. Like, you would use old shoes for, like, pylons, I think you would.
Yeah. So I didn't have any cones. So I didn't have a footwork ladder either. So, you know, I would set up shoes as the markers for those. And I had, like, a bag of old sneakers. Mm. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's and let me just say Happy New Year to you as well. Did you do anything for the New Year?
I was at the synagogue, you know, spent time with friends and just ushered in the new year. It's a lot of praying.
Yeah.
Just thanking God for what I had this year, because really I was given a lot, and you know, asking for forgiveness for the things I didn't do right, and yeah, you know, just moving into the next year, hoping that everything just continues to progress.
Now, where do you hope to see yourself at five to 10 years from now?
That's a good question. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I have some things I'm working on, and that respect, I'm going to keep those aspects of a little bit more secretive. But, you know, I would like to do as much as I can in the space. I would like to, you know, do everything I can in the motivational space as well, because that's, you know, something I find really important, something I find meaning in. That's the reality of kind of how this thing is, because, you know, as much as I love it, I also find meaning in it. I find meaning giving meaning to other people through it. And, you know, whoever I can inspire with my story, to me, is like a big part of my purpose, which is, again, something that for me is paramount when it comes to career or when it comes to spending your life doing something. So,
and you do, so you do not play on Friday nights to Saturday nights, because that's Shabbat for you. And I do admire that, because there was another Jewish athlete quite a few years ago by the name of Sandy Koufax that he didn't play on Yom Kippur, and the team kind of got angry at him for doing that. But I admire how you still stand up for your beliefs, and no matter what people make.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, thankfully, I mean, Saturday, once the sun goes down on Saturday, you know, we're good. So I guess about half the college football games that we have are after that time. So thankfully, you know, that part's still okay. But, you know, I'm very thankful to have a good support staff behind me. You know, I'm thankful that all the staff that I have had at A&M has been supportive of me and, you know, my aspirations, my goals. So I'm very thankful for all of that. You know, I'm just very thankful to the people that made it possible. And obviously, above all else, I'm thankful to God, and I'm thankful to my parents, and, you know, just having the wherewithal to, you know, stand by what I believe in.
Now, being the first Jewish college person of your kind, do you feel the need to represent your people well? Because I know that there's been a lot of stuff going on over in Israel, and then a lot of anti-Semitism and all that stuff. So, I mean, does that ever become a concern for you at all?
I mean, mean, thankfully, no. Texas A&M has been very good about it. Obviously, so, I mean, there are other athletes that are Division I football players that are Jewish, but, yeah, I'm an Orthodox Jew. So, there's a little bit. We're kind of like the unique sets in where, people don't really get to see a lot of us, especially when it comes to high-level sports, just based off of, how things tend to progress in like our communities, where things go, and for me it's very important to represent because obviously I'm very open about who I am. I wear my yarmulke on the sideline. I wear tzitzit on my pads, and for me it's important. It's an important thing to represent, and obviously I hope that I can show a good showing of what Jews are, Orthodox Jews are to people who may not see people like me or may not know even what we believe. But at the same time, in doing so, I also hope that I can be a role model and be something positive influence to the Jewish kids who do want to grow up and play sports, because in my personal opinion, I think that a lot of Jewish kids do want to play sports. I think sometimes that people kind of like hammer on the dreams, and that's a tough thing. But I hope that I can be something where they can see, I can succeed in this space, and I can stick to my values, and nothing ever has to contradict.
Now I'm going to back up here for just a moment, Sam, on something so you had picked football, and we definitely all know that, but did you ever try any other sports, or was it primarily just nothing but football that you had tried out?
I played everything in the book. I mean, so from my young life, I started out with tennis, gymnastics. I was in gymnastics for a longer period of time. I played basketball for 3 years. I played soccer for 2 years. High school, I played I played tennis. I mean, sporadically throughout my life. So there were periods of my young life, and then in high school, I played for 3 years. I played floor hockey. Whatever really there was offer that I could play. I kind of went out and I played baseball for 3 years. 3 years I played in Little League. So I mean, I've been around in the sports world.
And I also love how you knew that this was going to happen. I mean, I know you had mentioned that already because you made phone calls to the athletic director at the Aggies, I think it was, and you said, "Hey, I'm going to go to tryouts and I'm going to do this." It wasn't that you. So I know you were checking it out at first. I mean, to see what it was all about, see the work ethic that you needed to have, the drills, the workouts, all that stuff. But but I do admire how you knew that this was going to happen, and you had to go in and you stuck it out.
I appreciate that.
Absolutely. So also, you are a man of faith, as you've said, and you also are interested in becoming a rabbi, if I can talk, a rabbi.
Yeah. That's correct.
Yeah. So,
that is correct.
Are you currently in rabbinical school? I know Texas A&M, but are you also doing rabbinical stuff on the side?
Not currently, but I mean, I'm still learning, obviously Torah and certain requisites that are important. I'm using my friend's old textbooks for when he was in taking rabbinical classes. So, I'm not in a formal program as of now, but at some point in my life, I would like to be in, have everything formalized.
Well, there's one other question I wanted to ask you, Sam, and I know that this is your busy time of the year with the holidays coming up and all that's going on. But I know you're still young. You're 21 years old, but is there one piece of advice you would probably give your younger self, or maybe even to someone who's like 15, 16 years old, maybe just wanting to do their own thing?
That's a good question. I would say that the place that you're in your life doesn't define who you are at the moment. Mm.
Yeah.
So I mean, I would say that, I think that's a lot of times, especially like 15, 16, like you kind of get a little bit of a tunnel vision where it's like, if something is tough, it's tough and it's tough for a while and kind of takes over your mind. But nothing really, nothing really lasts like that. You know, I think it's, and even on a converse way, you know, if you thank God you have something good, you have to do everything that you can to sustain that thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, it kind of goes both ways in that sense. But I would just say that, you know, just to keep the head down, heads down, work, do your best, and just don't be afraid to be different.
Mm. Yeah.
I think, you know, don't be afraid to be different, and don't be afraid to let your, to actually go out and accomplish your dreams.
Absolutely. Well, Sam, I thank you so much for coming on to the program. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you for having me.
Definitely be following your career, and hopefully you'll come back one of these days, 5-10 years down the road, and we'll get to interview you again.
I appreciate that. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Bye-bye, Sam. Thank you.